From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, April 29th. I'm Abby Larico. Kinsa Aways has described herself as a first-generation student cluelessly navigating medicine. So she created a program to help others explore STEM careers.
This is like an experience that a lot of people have, but they don't really talk about it. And then they think like, oh, maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm not smart enough. And all it takes is like one person to believe in you and be like, no, you can do it.
STLPR Sarah Fentum shares how the program is expanding the definition of who these STEM jobs are for. Coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Fiscal Oversight Board for the City of St. Louis has sent the Board of Aldermen the spending plan for the budget year that starts July 1st. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has details on what's in it and what's next.
The budget approved by the Board of Estimate and Apportionment is about $1.4 billion, basically flat compared to last year. Most of the attention has been on the allocation for the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. Though the city did not grant the department's full $250 million request, it is still receiving 4% more from the general fund than last year. That sparked nearly 100 people to address ENA at a public hearing on Friday. Many, like the Freedom Community Center's Mike Milton, were upset that the Office of Violence Prevention did not receive its full funding request.
That's not real public safety strategy. That is political racism dressed up as a budget lie.
Aldermen will review the budget over the next several weeks. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
A former St. Louis alderman is going to prison for 16 months for defrauding an insurance company after his car was damaged. A federal judge issued the sentence to Brandon Bosley. He was found guilty in January of wire fraud and lying to the FBI. Prosecutors had asked for a significant prison term. Bosley's attorneys wanted home confinement. Guidelines called for 12 to 18 months. In addition to prison time, Bosley must also pay restitution to the insurance company. His attorneys can appeal the sentence if they believe it's unreasonable. St. Louis development leaders are taking steps to address the vacant Railway Exchange building and nearby properties. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, they voted yesterday to pave the way for demolition of most of the properties near the Exchange building.
The Gill building would be the only one still standing on the block under the plan. Railway Exchange and the properties nearby have long been the site of crimes, including frequent break-ins and vandalism. The city's land clearance for a redevelopment authority purchased a parking lot in the former Charlie Gito's building there late last year. Rob Orr is deputy executive director of the St. Louis Development Corporation. He says SLDC is still trying to secure funding for demolition.
We look at this and discuss this almost probably 4 or 5 days a week, still looking for answers. And we have some things that I really don't want to go into at this point, but there are some, you know, some opportunities that I think that we have. It's just a matter of time.
The Planning Commission still has to approve the changes before the demolition process can start. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri may become one of many states that supports ending twice-a-year clock changing by making daylight saving time permanent. Representatives voted 107-31 on legislation that would require the state to follow the federal government when it decides whether to go to year-round daylight saving time. President Donald Trump has previously urged Congress to permanently keep daylight time. It's the spring forward part of the year that lasts from March to November. The Sunshine Protection Act would do so, but it last passed the U.S. Senate in 2022 and did not come to a vote in the House. Republican Representative Jamie Gregg says his bill is needed to keep Illinois or Kansas from switching to permanent standard time and forcing the state to follow. Otherwise, he says it could divide St. Louis and Kansas City.
You're going to have half of the metro standard time, and then the other half of the metro switching their clocks back and forth.
But Democratic Representative Aaron Crosley says permanent daylight time is not the answer because northern parts of Missouri wouldn't see the sunrise until almost 9 a.m. some parts of the year.
When the whole country tried this before, school children were getting killed at bus stops and hit at bus stops by buses because they were standing out in the dark.
Crosley, though, agrees with many other representatives that switching the clocks twice a year can have negative health effects. Arizona and Hawaii are the only states that use permanent standard time. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe isn't ruling out putting certain ballot initiatives to a vote during the August primary election. As STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum reports, the Republican governor's decision could affect the fate of some of his top policy priorities.
Missourians are slated to decide on at least five ballot measures this year, including a plan that allows the legislature to raise sales and use taxes in order to eliminate the income tax. Kehoe has the power to put any of those five proposals on the August primary instead of the November general election, but he must decide by May 22nd.
We've already have our amendments 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, I think, right now. So we're looking at what that's all going to look like.
In addition to the tax measure, Missourians will also decide on whether to repeal an abortion rights amendment they passed in 2024 and to make it harder to pass some constitutional amendments. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Southern Illinois University Edwardsville has completed a new $117 million health sciences building. The Metro East University's complex hosts both the nursing and pharmacy schools. The 172,000-square-foot building has classrooms, labs, study areas, and administrative offices. SIUE officials are hoping the facility will support the modern needs of the healthcare field. After being delayed by the pandemic, construction started in 2023. Originally, the project had a price tag of $105 million, but inflation ended up increasing the cost by about $12 million. A swimming pool company filed a lawsuit yesterday against the city of Webster Groves. St. Louis Public Radio's Rebecca Thiel reports Westport Pools is seeking more than $600,000 for unpaid work on the city's aquatic center.
Westport Pools says the city delayed significant project milestones and requested major design changes. That meant Westport had to sprint to finish the aquatic center by the city's deadline of Memorial Day weekend last year. The company alleges the city still hasn't paid for hundreds of thousands of dollars in overtime, but Webster Groves says the job isn't done. In a statement, a city spokesman said its agreement with Westport Pools allows the city to withhold final payment until the project is complete, and the company was still working on the aquatic center as of 2 weeks ago. The aquatic center was part of a more than $22 million bond issue passed in 2024. I'm Rebecca Thiel, St. Louis Public Radio.
For some high school students, it can be difficult to visualize a future in science, medicine, or engineering. That's especially true if they don't know anyone who already has those jobs. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum reports on one student-led organization that's trying to spread the word that STEM careers are for everyone.
Like a lot of great ideas, this one came to Kinza Awais late at night. The Webster University student was thinking about one of her friends who had launched a STEM workshop and mentoring program for teens in Texas. And she thought, why not bring it here?
There's so much opportunity here that I think is just getting brushed under the rug.
It's called Nourishment STL, with two O's. The group puts on intense hands-on workshops for high schoolers and connects teens with expert mentors in medicine and engineering. Awais, a pre-med student, rallied a community of friends and professional contacts together to create the first four-class session. The group worked with the St. Louis-based nonprofit LifeWise to offer workshops to students in the organization's after-school program. Awais says as a high school student who wanted to work in the medical field, she often didn't know where to go for advice.
This is like an experience that a lot of people have, but they don't really talk about it. And then they think like, oh, maybe there's something wrong with me. And maybe I'm not smart enough. And all it takes is like one person to believe in you and be like, no, you can do it.
Bismuth Syed is the group's community engagement specialist. She just wrapped her own training in occupational therapy at Maryville and says it can be hard for students to see themselves in STEM careers.
It challenges the idea that STEM is just a field where you can only get into it if you know a guy who knows a guy. And we're challenging that idea by saying, no, your passions and your desire to learn should be more than enough of a reason.
It's one of the reasons why Nourishment targets high schoolers and not younger kids.
We really try to meet the students at a more of a pivotal point in their lives so we can make the most impact.
The first two sessions had four classes each. Each hands-on workshop is guided by an expert instructor, with volunteers assisting. Most workshops also feature a guest speaker.
Does anybody have an idea of what people prioritize in when they look for an arm?
Nourishment's third session of workshops just wrapped up this month. The group branched out for its latest courses, which focus on engineering.
And then proximal phalanges. So.
At the last class, students in the LifeWise gym constructed a functional prosthetic hand out of yarn, cardboard, and straws. Karen Guardian, a junior at Gateway STEM High School, demonstrated.
Now we are gluing the different colors on each, like structure of your portion of your finger. And we're doing it different colors for each little structure.
The yarn acts kind of like a tendon. When the students pull the strings, the cardboard fingers clasp one by one.
Yeah, we're going to put a string through it for it will be able to move.
The initial lecture part of the workshop was minimal, maybe 5 or 10 minutes. Then the nourishment team let the students, including Confluence Prep senior Taisha Griffith, do their thing. Griffith says she's already studying to be a pharmacist.
Having that creative freedom in science is like just really inspiring and just makes me feel very excited to just get on with like my schooling and learning new things.
Her partner, Grand Center Arts Academy student Ruth Shackelford, said she had been to Nourishment's 2 engineering workshops earlier in the semester.
We've built bridges, we've built cars, mine won, of course, but that's just me.
Could Shackelford's winning streak hold? As a final test, the teenagers used their cardboard hands to attempt picking up a glass of water.
Pull as hard as you can. Pull. Keep pulling.
Working together, Griffiths and Shackelford pulled on the yarn, lifting a small cup.
Yeah!
All right, let's go with more weight. Let's see if we can add more weight.
Shackelford says opportunities are everywhere, for those who are willing to look. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Now Rob Edwards edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.